Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
And we're back with another episode of Love & Hip Hop New York, Season 9, Episode 8. This is Collateral Damage. Yanni has become a foster mom, Sin makes a breakthrough, and Sydney Starr, she doesn't seem to be too serious about her craft. Stay tuned for all that and more right here.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You know, this episode, I feel like we need to be a little mellow. We didn't need to turn up too much this time.
Everybody needs some love.
Right? Everybody needs love on this episode. It's a lot of damaged relationships. They're trying to get back right. And this is a gem right here from Teyana Taylor, Gonna Love Me. I rock to this in the car sometimes.
Yes, it's too short. It's not long enough, I know. Actually.
I'm your host, Miss Conversation Peace. Thanks so much for tuning in with us. I got my girls with me.
Hey, it's Robin with a V back in the building.
Hey, guys, it's Thelma and Baisley Daniel.
All right, ladies, let's get right into this episode. What are your overall thoughts of it? It was a lot for me.
Very deep, very emotional. It was like 1-800-TISSUE, sponsored by Kleenex. But it was important. Yes. I think it was very important to have
a lot of important conversations.
Yes, yes. And it touched so many different areas that can be relatable across the board for a lot of people watching.
You know, I think like this episode had to be, you know, when it happens once or twice, you're like, okay, this context of Love & Hip Hop is really touching on a lot of issues. You see it happen with the conversation with Joel's having with his kid. That was really rare. Mm-hmm. But I think this episode just tied it all in. We just had, like Robin said, a lot of big hitters. But yeah. I think Infinity Story definitely was the winner for me.
Yeah, I feel like the appearance from Dr. Jen, I think she's the doctor from Marriage Bootcamp.
Yes.
And the fact that she's an actual therapist and she made an appearance, I'm thinking the whole cast needs to sit with her. Like,
I appreciate her.
She should just do. They should do a whole Love & Hip Hop therapy session show. I think they need it.
Or they should do Marriage Bootcamp Reality Edition since they got the hip hop.
I think they
edition.
Did that.
They have hip hop right now.
Yeah, they have hip hop, but I think they did it. That's when Amina first got on,
right.
And it was like
they
other.
Did.
It was like. Real Housewives of Atlanta.
So
and,
maybe just
yeah.
Love & Hip Hop.
Just Love & Hip Hop, yes. Because they all have issues. Dr. Jen sits down with Joe first. He's actually had a breakthrough with her, which is why he called her back in to speak with Sin. And that's when we learn the backstory from Sin and why she doesn't want a nanny. And I feel her because I've even seen some, you know, those shows on ABC where they do those Dateline specials and the right. nanny beat the kids. And right. they be like, oh, she just fell down and scraped her knee. No, you beat my child. Right. And I saw it on camera. And when you see something like that, who knows how you're going to react? And then Sin having this trauma, you know, it could just take her there, you know, and really, you know, send her, you know, downward spiral. So she is very fearful of leaving her child with someone, and I don't blame her.
I think the biggest part of that, it's beyond just not knowing what someone's gonna do to your kid, but like you said, what she went through. Like, her mom left her with someone that she trusted, and in turn, something like that, the molestation happened. So that's a trigger right there. When you think of your pride and joy and your baby boy or your baby girl or anything, you're like, that can happen to me. And just going through something like that, it takes a lot, because we see, just kind of piggybacking off of the whole surviving R. Kelly thing. If you guys, we have that too. You guys should check that out on AfterBuzz TV. We see a lot of times people's stories and what they've been through kind of shapes them into what they are and how they treat other people sometimes. So
yeah.
I commend a lot of people that go through that and don't become that.
Yeah, either they're damaged or
right.
then they end up hurting someone else. So it's
right.
like hurt people, you know?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I definitely think that it's really important to see that she took a step. You know, because a lot of times when people give you such harsh criticism, it's easy to let your ego take the primary space, where it's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. And I really love that when you see relationships where it's like, okay, I can see my 70%, I can see my 30, and they kind of work it out. Yeah. So I thought that was really important to see as well.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely important when you see the issues to just communicate, and it's like, maybe even bring in that third party. So I'm glad that they're working through it, because they really love each other. They had the baby, and it was unexpected. It's like, you're so in love, and then you just, you know, doing it right. Like rabbits, and now you have a baby when you planned on waiting 4 years and you want to enjoy each other's company.
Exactly.
And now it's hard to do, because, you know, that's with any relationship. Like, if I was to get into a relationship right now and I was in love, I wouldn't want to just pop out a baby.
Right.
You know what I
especially
mean?
Especially when it's new.
Exactly.
And the thing is, it sounded like she was a little hesitant going to speak with someone by herself at first.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that she did that. And then I didn't know, listening to Joe talk to Dr. Jen, is how he felt about starting anew with his baby boy and being able to be a father again and do it right this time.
Yeah.
That was deep for me, because I had no idea. And they didn't really show if Sin knew that or not.
Yeah.
So that was, I don't know, to see him.
I think she did know, because we learned that he knew about, you know, her being molested, but he just didn't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So knowledge doesn't necessarily give you the coping mechanism to support someone the way they need you to. So,
yeah. It's always good to be open for mediation, right, whether it's from a pastor or a registered therapist. And we also hear from Yandy, who's taking on another responsibility. She has kids. And when I look at it, it's almost like I felt like she almost kind of needed help. You know, you got this 16-year-old that could possibly babysit for you, and you're super busy. And she didn't even take the time to do her background check. Like, you know, teenagers can be sneaky. We've all been there where we, you know,
especially
trying to do
16.
What we want to do or be grown or whatever. And you can put on this front like, yeah, I'll be good, and then you're sneaking out the house at 2 a.m. So,
right.
Yandy's mother-in-law,
Miss Judy,
got her to open her eyes and like, look, you bringing this girl around my grandkids. Mm-hmm. I need you to do your due diligence and see why she's in foster care, what really's going on, because, you know, we've all been kind of sneaky as a teenager.
Miss Judy always funny to me. She always with the mess, but in this instant, I was like, You right.
Yeah.
Miss Judy, you right. And then when she asked Yandy, like, you haven't talked to the foster parents. You haven't talked to anybody. Mm-hmm. You just getting one side of the story. We all know it's three sides to every story. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I really am happy that she took heed with what Miss Judy said. Because normally Yandy would just be like, okay.
You know, but I think it's really interesting and a little funny, you know, that Yandy keeps getting blindsided in episode. It's like, how did you not
think of this?
She's so busy.
First it was Jonathan, like, I'm sorry, I think you're like hovering like a minor. I think that's
government.
I'm not a lawyer, but I think that's like illegal. So if it wasn't for him, and now Miss Judy kind of like catapulting her entire idea of like, this might be wrong. But I still think that the premise of the Infinity story is really at the root of like what we need right now. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you can afford that child, granted, like, yes, she is getting something from it. I did think about that as well. Like, oh, this is a girl who can come in and kind of like help you out as well. But that has nothing to do with the fact that she's being here for this child and really like giving her a stable home that she honestly does deserve.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I think that's important, to be mentors and to give back to the community, which she does with her organization. And she just, you know, took a little personal liking to this girl and brought her into the home. And it's great that she decided to go the legal way, because like she said, her kids could be taken away and then they could be in the system and she could be caught up in this whole whirlwind that she didn't even need to be in. So she had to go through the legal way to do this. And it's kind of also an eye-opener just to look at our system, because it's like, what if they wouldn't have been so open to let her keep the girl?
And it's still not, like, permanent.
Exactly.
Yet. As we know, it's like a temporary thing. And as of, November of last year, that was the last interview that I was able to find. It's still temporary. Like, it's still an ongoing thing so that she can make it permanent.
Exactly. So. And so this is the thing about the system. they're doing their due diligence to make sure her home is safe. But at the same time, are these foster homes safe? They're really, you know, being scrutinizing Yandy, but are they doing the same for these foster parents?
Right.
And the thing is, like, I think a lot of things... I think a lot of things actually slip through the cracks.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to, like you said, like just looking at it on a micro level, like look at Andy, he's so busy. On a macro level, there's so many things in our judicial system and legislative system that just kind of like slip through the cracks, you know. And I definitely think that children, caring for children, protecting our children, foster kids, all of that, is definitely within that umbrella, in my opinion. So I think that a lot of times, like, even if she did have her child adopt Infinity for an X amount of time, there could be certain parameters where, like, priority would still be given to whomever is considered, you know, her legal or her original primary legal guardian or birth parent.
And it has to be signed off by them.
Exactly. And as she's getting older, she's 16 now, so, like, 2 more years, she's probably turning 17 soon. So she's definitely coming into a space where she has to make a lot of her own decisions as well.
And it sounds like she's been making a lot of decisions.
Oh, yeah. She's been running out the house at 2 a.m. It just seems to me like she's just a typical teenager. We don't like rules when we were 16, I'm sure. I don't know. Some of us might have been angels.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about the whole her mom and Yandy conversation.
I mean, I feel like her mom seemed to be somewhat truthful, but at the same time, like, when she ended up finding out that one Infinity found out that her mom met up with Yandy and she was so mad and she jumped out the car... And then we find out that her mom is a drunk. She's bringing all these men home and all this stuff. Like, both, like you said, two sides to every story. Nobody wants to own up to what they did. Infinity doesn't want to say, I've been running away and sneaking out the house. And her mom doesn't want to say, oh, I got these random men here. Right. So it's just like, and we know she's doing what she do because she got 6 kids. So you got some randoms up in there. I'm just saying. I'm not judging. That's what's going on.
No, and also I just feel like it's also like we're talking about, you know, going to therapy either as an individual or even in groups. I think sometimes, like, it's easy to point fingers, but it's a cycle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't do what you say, they do as you do.
Hello.
So as you kind of, like, bring more attention to the kind of life that has been presented to Infinity, just presuming, you know, there are also some things that she has to work through with her mother, with her family.
Well, I don't know.
And it can kind of break some generational
curses. If she's
going
to work through it with her mom, because... Is her mom, one, willing to sit down? Is she able to afford, you know, the therapy? Does the foster care system, you know, have that in place where you get the therapy if you need it? I don't think so. Also,
I don't think she's trying to mend anything with her mom, per se. That's why she was so raged.
Exactly. And then also... Infinity is a very level-headed young lady. She says she studies on her own. She's getting good grades. She just has a little, you know, just curiosity. We all try to find our own way, you know, through life, especially as a young girl. So I feel like she's there. But at the same time, the reason that Yandy's mom even had concerns is because she looks like everything's okay via Instagram mm-hmm. and social media. But... Everybody puts their highlight reel on social media, so we don't know what's going on
everybody
with that girl.
Everybody puts their highlight reel on social media, and everybody is going to want to paint the other person worse than what it is sometimes. Like, the fact that she says she's been in and out of foster home all her life, mm-hmm. and then
she's
you
exaggerating.
Find out from her mom, she's like, no, she was just in foster home for the last couple months, or whatever the case may be, because she was living with her grandma the whole time, so... I just, you know, I would like to know the stories, but at the end of the day, I find it disheartening when people go out of their way to tear people down. Like, all the comments about, like, Yandy just doing it to look good and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of weird.
And
it's just kind of weird. It's just kind of weird. Like, nobody can live their life without somebody speculating.
I don't know. I do not dislike Yandy. However, it's like the whole situation where she even brought the girl without doing it legally. Like, why did it take your mom and Jonathan for you to understand that? Like, I don't understand.
Did you really? Because we talked about that last week, actually.
I think she's working
out the motions. Like, is it an intent of, like, I kind of said, like, I think she didn't jumped to hugging her and consoling her and, like, giving her the I will never let you them take you away from me speech, because maybe she knew in the back of her head, you know, this is what I'm going to do, so I don't want to make promises. But I can see the other end of that where people are like, oh my goodness, like, why didn't she do that? That doesn't come off like genuine, you know? But one
you're
thing
damned
that
if
was
you do,
gonna,
damned if you don't.
Exactly,
in this world,
so live your life.
Media.
But one thing I was going to add to what you said is that in addition to people just doing different things, I think they also send their representatives. Like, we've kind of talked about that a little bit. So it's like you said, you don't really know who the real anyone is.
Right.
So
yeah.
Right.
X amount of time going into it.
And we're finding out that Rich and Miracle and Ashley don't even know who Miracle is, because she's shooting someone and facing time, and Ashley knows nothing about it. She's in school. She knows.
She knows she shot someone.
Well,
she
knows.
She had to drive
to the
hospital.
Yeah, she drove to the hospital.
But a woman doesn't just shoot someone.
I mean...
Okay.
Touche.
She seemed very calm on this episode. Like, yeah, I shot him. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
on some Hey Joe type stuff.
Right? Like,
yeah, shot
I don't know any. Right? Yeah. Oh, like, how can you be so calm? And I'm going to jail. Yeah. Like,
I need y'all to help me.
Pray
be
for me.
Be positive.
Like, right, she don't right. seem like, she seemed like she was, she knew what she was
she
doing when she
like
pulled
she
the trigger.
She done been through some stuff, and
she's
like,
from Memphis.
Numb.
I'm from Memphis, too.
She
it's rough out there.
She's numb. She, like, numb. Like,
yeah. I'm like, is it an abusive situation that she's going through? Like, what makes you shoot
I
your man?
I feel like it's abusive, and it's so abusive to the point where they're still together.
Toxic.
To the point where, obviously, she's like, he's not going to file charges against her, but... When Rich was yelling, like, you don't even want to throw him under the bus because you worried about somebody's reputation and this, that, and the other, that means she's still with this man that took her to the level of shooting him. And my thing is like, well, did you shoot him in the back? Did you shoot him in the shoulder? Were you aiming for, like, a fatal shot and missed? Mm. Like, I have so many questions. Mm-hmm. But, and then your daughter was there. Goodness. Like,
I remember a case in Florida where a woman shot...
A warning shot.
And she got almost life in jail or something, so...
And the crazy thing about that is just, like, to some extent, we see these, like, shows in the movies and the Moulin Rouges, you know, where it's, like, in the Chicago's, where it's just like, oh, it's kind of sexy, yes, a warning shot. That is psychotic. Okay?
Girl.
You should...
That is survival.
I don't mean psychotic in the sense of, like, I mean, like, normalizing that level of rage.
Yeah.
Normalizing that level of fight, because that it can't be the first time that you just take out a gun. You probably pulled it one time. You thought about pulling, like, I'm gonna kill this.
And was it his or was it yours?
You must have threatened at some point, and then, you know, there are levels to such rage, and I feel like sometimes there's this weird, like, sickening array that people have with love and what it means to be crazy in love, and it's just too much. Let's be sane in love, like, you know.
No. You know what? She is crazy, because what is even, like, most confusing to me is the fact that she's basically trying to hide this situation from Ashley, and I'm like, girl, you should have thought about this before you pulled the trigger. Now you're like, well, I might go away, and I just don't want to tell her about it. Girl, you need to be having this conversation, because you probably are going to jail. From the looks of it, I don't even know the full details of the case, but it seems like you're guilty.
Rich said it best. He said, you don't... What did he say? He said, you don't prepare for the best, and then the worst happened. Like, she'd be shattered. You know what I'm saying? Like, you prepare for the worst. So if the best happens, you guys are like, oh, well, that was a pleasant surprise, but we were ready just in case.
Well, I don't know, because you don't want to, like she said, normalize it and feel like, okay, well, But she might take, like you said, you do as your parents do and not what they say. So if she gets off so easily, Ashley might continue that cycle. So it's like, you want to be aware that there are consequences.
On one instance, we see Juelz telling his little toddlers that he's going away. She should be able to talk to her 19-year-old daughter and be like, you know what happened. You were there. Just so you know, this may happen. This is what I'm facing. This is what I'm up against. She's not a child anymore.
If there is something going on, like, all jokes aside, like, this is definitely a story of survival. And I feel like no matter the situation, we should be able to, like, hear the other side of the story.
And communicate.
Too many times, you know, like, we have people who are in the system, and it's like women who were protecting themselves or were sold or whatever was going on, but people come looking at it at a black and white situation. And, you know, the foundation of law was never to necessarily benefit women.
It doesn't seem like she feels remorseful. It feels like she's just like...
Just in general,
if that it was the case, because you don't know if
she might be the abusive one. She might be the crazy one. There's some women that abuse men, too.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
she might be trying to protect his reputation from being like a sucker, huh?
Beat by
his wife.
Rich is feeling really guilty. He feels like he should have been there. He gets advice from his mom. His mom tells him to man up. Be there for your daughter. Bring her out here. That's how they even got there to have the conversation. But he was kind of hesitant. And then when they actually did in the conversation, he's like, man, I should have just been there for you. I should have never left Memphis. And she said it's not his fault. But what do you guys think? Like, with the whole family dynamic, I mean, he does live in a whole different city. What do you think a man should do? Like,
I know he feels very helpless. And I do like to see this side of Rich, because all we see is creep rich dollars and all this kind of stuff. So I'm happy to know that he's backing them financially, whether it's for the financial aid, whether it's for the attorney fees and all the legal fees and everything, to finally see this side of him.
But this is the thing. You can't just think that money is going to do it. Like you said, you got to be there.
Of course not. But I don't think he really can be there the way in his mind he wants to be there. And I think that's the part that's breaking him apart the most, is the regret of not being there and still the regret of right now. Like, I still can't do anything but just be here and break the bank. Or, you know, like, I can try and be supportive, but I really can't do anything. Like, the damage has been done at this point.
I just feel like sometimes, like, there's always road that can be traveled. There's always a way, you know, to figure out how to fight for your daughter, how
he
to fight
can support
for your family.
Her, yeah.
And I just think that this brings me back to a point that I was going to make when you brought up Joe Budden, because he frequently says, like, on his social media and such, like, he's breaking the cycle when it comes to just relationships and, you know, like, raising kids. And I think that that's kind of something that you're talking about, right? Like, what does it mean to be there, like, physically? And I think that you can be there. You don't have to be geographically there, but, like, being present, meaning, like, you know what's going on in every aspect of their lives.
She's been hiding it. Miracle's been hiding it, though. She's been hiding it from Ashley, and she's been hiding it from Rich, because we find out Rich didn't even know, like, the severity of it, like, that she was charged with attempted murder, now is aggravated assault. Like, shouldn't you be, like, if he's paying your lawyer fees, shouldn't you be a little transparent here?
I mean, more so from his daughter than his ex. Yeah.
I think he just took
He might be scared. He gonna get shot. I don't know.
I know. She's a G. I'm not messing with no miracle. I think he took a laid-back approach and didn't realize until his mama put him in check, honestly. And then I feel like now he's moving forward. He wants to be the father instead of, like, the best friend, you know, the best friend daddy. Like, he wants to be more of a father figure. I'm hoping that's what that is.
Yeah, that's the thing about having kids young, like this whole sin situation. You know, sometimes you just gotta give yourself time. I mean, things happen, and then that's when you have to take on the responsibility. That's where we see Infinity's mom, because she must have started having kids young. You know, she has 6 of them.
I know.
You know, so it's just like, we gotta get our family dynamic back, you know, like the right way. Start having a husband first and then the kids, you know? I mean, I believe in that wholeheartedly.
I think that that's also like, you know, family is just the root of everything, you know? And then mindset when it comes to family and what we're building. So I think that that's a very, very refreshing thought, and I agree with that.
And then this whole, the molestation and rape and statutory rape, like, we got to protect our kids. And it's just hard, because I remember so long ago, it took a village to raise a child. Like, your neighbor could beat your child down and be
you
like,
you didn't know where your kid was, you go next door and be like, did you see Ray Ray? I saw him going that way by the liquor store. You know.
I mean, but even in those same dynamics, you know, there might have been things going on with Ray Ray, but things were just always like a hush-hush. People cared more so about, like, what was perceived, you know, but again, like, there was that level of decency, at least outwardly, right? In the way that you treated people, in the way that you treated older people. Like, if you disrespected an older person, your parents were going to find, like, that kind of thing.
Right. There was no sneaking out the house and then you're going to run away.
Of course, you're going to see. People are going to see. They're going to tell. There's no sense of, like, I've been living next to this person for 2 years. I don't even know what their name is. If I ran out of sugar.
That's what it is.
Like, people don't do stuff like that. Exactly.
I don't know my neighbors. Sorry, y'all.
But I don't know that there was necessarily.
I'll be all up in my neighbor's business. Really? Because I need to know if you're next door to me making bombs. I need to know my surroundings.
I know they're smoking weed. I know that.
But, if I have somebody above us, like, it sounds like they're building stuff at, like, from 11 p.m. to, like, 3 in the morning. Like, I think you're a terrorist. What are you doing?
What you gonna do if you find out? They gonna blow you up before you say
I'm calling
up.
The popo.
Okay, time out. What's happening on this?
I know.
All we're saying is bring the village back. That's exactly what we're saying, okay? Bring the village back.
Tie it on in.
Stay aware of your surroundings. Don't disconnect from those around you. At the end of the day, it all takes connection and how we interact with one another.
Absolutely.
That whole blind eye, all that kind of stuff, that's not none of my business. I'm going to sip my tea woo. That does not help the society grow as a whole, especially our culture.
Yes.
More importantly.
See something, say something.
Exactly.
Okay, TSA.
And then we get into Sydney starring Jonathan Naya Lee. So Naya is offering her assistance to style and basically help Sydney with her artist development, which she's not really privy to. She's like, I'm good. I'm fly. I don't need help. And Naya says she's trashy. Now, I'm like, now you were a stripper before. Your outfit doesn't look too far off from hers. And the last time I saw you on stage, you had a thong on with your jeans.
She was sagging in the jeans.
So I'm like, who's telling her that she's a stylist now?
Literally, you said it best last week. Just like, where are your credentials?
Last week I was
and
saying
intent,
the way you present it. But now I'm like, Sydney Starr is disappointing me. Like, I was always a kind of don't knock it till you try it. So I was rooting for Sydney, and
because she was an underdog.
Yeah, but now it's like every time you walk in the building, you don't have to. Hey, it's Sydney Starr, the transgender diva. Hey.
It's annoying.
Have to, you know, you are your presence. You don't have to yell your presence. Sometimes when you step into the building, just you stepping into the building is how you command the attention.
She doesn't know how to take constructive criticism.
That too. She's very sensitive, and now I'm starting to think like this whole it's hard for me. Now she keeps saying as a transgender woman so much that I'm like, okay, but this is not this. You could take that part out of it. This is when someone's giving you constructive criticism, take it for yourself. It's no one's giving it to you because you're a transgender woman. This is just woman to woman right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, I know you want to represent for your LGBTQ community, but I don't think you're doing them justice right now. And I think that whole, all of that, I was like, ooh.
And then, what's confusing to me is,
I was grabbing, like, Jonathan, like, what are you doing?
He was baffled. It's like this. And it confuses me as well, because you still were born a male. You still have male parts. So I feel like you're still a male fighting a woman. What do you guys think in that situation if they were to actually come to blows?
Well, I'm glad she's not with it. She's not with it. One, Sydney is not about it. It was very clear. I was just joking.
No, you can't joke like that.
You want to get... No, I don't. I was just joking.
But you can't keep poking the bear and then be like, oh, my bad.
Oh, my
gosh.
Throwing
your rocks and hiding your hands.
And
that's what they call it.
She said, I want to show that I can be the classy... She said all these high-tech words for the quite opposite of what she
was portraying, yeah.
When she walked in with that butchered... Edward Scissorhand dress that she concocted.
Mm-hmm.
I was very confused.
Yeah, I'm confused. And it just seems like Jonathan needs a friend, because they said that they've been knowing each other for some years, but this is episode 8. This is the first time y'all sat down? Did you know each other, or
Jonathan,
did you take a picture with each
titties.
Other?
Jonathan
right.
Is just
popping titties and licking nips and
stuff. That was so appalling. I was like, ew, when he started doing that at the bar, I'm like, I don't want to see this. I didn't like that. That was gross.
No, he's definitely fishing.
That was
but
so
overall,
nasty.
I just feel like the biggest thing I got from this little forced friendship thing is that you just shouldn't force things. You know, you just shouldn't.
Don't try to put circles in squares.
Or, you know, maybe not circles in squares. Maybe like circles in spheres, you know, because they're not too far from one another. But at the same time, it just was like one of the situations where I was like, yeah, that first vibe that you guys had initially, she ran with it. Like, that was it. You know, they kept trying to come back to it. Like, oh, and she actually did the same thing when she was like, oh, sorry, I came off so hard. Like, da 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 da.
I don't like people who try to throw shade or just are, you know, out of control, and then they try to backtrack. Like, own your shit. If you're going to be a shady B-I-T-C-H, then just do that. Yeah, you might end up in a fight, but that's what we're here for. Love and Hip Hop, we fight every episode, yeah, damn near.
The first time is a mistake, but the second and third, that's a habit. That's who you are.
Exactly. And so, I feel like a lot of transgender, I'm not trying to be generalization, but they seem to be messy sometimes. You know, like, that's what they do. And one thing that was weird to me, her face isn't beat. Like Jonathan was saying, like, she needs to learn some contouring tips, because I felt like a lot of drag queens, a lot of transgender, I'd be looking at them for the makeup tips, and it's kind of strange that she doesn't have it.
I don't know if they walk the street like that on a regular, but if they're, like, performing or if it's
an event or something. Well, not, like, actual drag look, but their faces are beat a lot of times.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like we can't generalize when it comes to that, because everybody, you know, wears makeup differently, mm-hmm, and I don't think that's, like, necessarily, like, an identifying thing outside of performance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just feel like it's just all about the intent. The entire thing came out a little shady. Granted, she's sensitive, but we have to take into account, like, everything that she has been through.
But when you're sensitive, then you have to pull back a little too. You can't dish it and not be able to take it. Like, that's the part that I'm having a hard time with. Like, if she was sensitive and was a little calmer, then it'd be different, because then people wouldn't get all buck with her, you know? Because Naya, she has changed so much, and now we seeing her getting tested again and again when it comes with Sydney. And like I said last week, maybe she would have been like, hey, we're going to work on, you know, your look, and then we'll get to the music. Maybe if she knew that ahead of time, she wouldn't have taken so much offense. But
I don't think so, because Jonathan even said she needed help with her makeup skills. So it's like,
but he didn't tell her that. He said that in a confessional.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, but I just feel like I agree with you guys. I just feel like, yes, we see her getting tested, we see Naya getting tested, but I just feel like at the end of the day, everybody's a makeup of their own history, their mm-hmm. own biography.
Manifested.
That's what I'm saying. Not even just, yeah, so there's just, like, basically you can only expect so much from somebody who is so touchy and so sensitive right now, and we see her kind of, like, growing in front of our eyes and having
no,
to
she
deal.
Hasn't grown to me, well, and I don't see any longevity for her on this show. I don't.
Speaking of growing, I mean, artist development, what do you guys think her?
Terrible. It hasn't
was
changed.
Is it getting better? Is it getting better?
No.
This episode?
It's the same.
It seems like the first two lines start off the same, and then she kind of, like, ventures off into something else.
And then forgets the rest.
I mean, she has confidence. That's great. That's really great.
That's a
but
great
she
start.
Said she wanted to be, she said, I had to hold you on this. She said she wanted to be
a, like, star.
No, Cardi B level.
Oh.
She said Cardi B level.
Well, one, you can't be on Cardi B's level speaking transgender every line, because the audience is to be real with you, they're not going to take to that. I mean, it's one thing to accept you as you are, but to keep throwing it in our face, like, I don't think it's going to happen on a mainstream level.
Be you.
But yeah, but not on a mainstream level. It's not,
like,
going to happen.
I don't walk around saying, I'm Belizean princess. I'm the Belizean princess. I'm the Belizean princess. Like,
well, Jocelyn used to do that. I mean, you can represent your culture or whatever.
But that's what she's doing by doing that, too.
Uh-huh.
I guess some people can do it and some people can't. I don't know. Because I don't want to make it seem like, I don't know. I don't like when people do that tagline every single time you see them. Like, it's just weird to me.
Frankly, I think it has nothing to do with her in terms of how much, excuse me, guys, in terms of how much she pronounces it or even, like, projects it out there. I think it's more so the substance of her work. If she was coming with some Kendrick Lamar version, I don't care if you said...
Listen.
I don't care if you said what, you know what I mean, and you're repping from now till whatever. That doesn't matter. As far as you're coming with the talent and you're giving us a flow and giving us something unique.
That part. But guys, before we move on to our next topic...
Tell us.
We just want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of Talk TV.
Yes.
And for us to continue to grow, we could use your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, hit the thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can be involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us here.
Yes,
and we truly appreciate supporting us and doing what we love.
Yes.
So don't forget to tell your friends, your uncle, your aunts, and everybody else, and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, please retweet us. Thank you so much for tuning in each and every week for our loyal viewers. And if you're a newbie, let us know what you think.
Yes.
Leave us a comment.
I was trying to get the chat up, but it's not working. So
well,
next
shout
week,
out to
y'all.
Leave a comment. We'll shout y'all next time. For even
sure.
Tweet us. You can tweet us as well. We're gonna start putting up some tweets from you guys of your recaps because we want to know what you guys think as well.
You guys are part of it.
You're
too.
Part of our family. Mm-hmm. You know, AfterBuzz TV family, and I think we got a little bit of news and gossip for you guys.
AfterBuzz TV news.
Breaking news. It's been a lot going on. Of course, these relationships, we don't know if they're real or fake, but Safari, he decides to show his boo some love, Erica Mena, who he was kind of joking on one episode, last week. But anyway, so he decided to put a little throwback photo of when they met on Scared Famous. So he says, when we did Scared Famous, I used to say so many things jokingly, not knowing it would become real life. I can't wait for you to be my wife. I'm so in love with you. The respect you give me, the way you uplift me and make me feel like a man is something people wouldn't believe. I get to be with the real you and love every second of it. You make me feel like I can do anything and I love you so much for it. I don't need to look any further because I found you. I watch you sleep sometimes in admiration. Like, I can't believe you're mine. I want to scream from the highest mountaintop on earth and how much I love you. But until I get there, I'll just tell you here. I love you so much. You complete me. And I can't wait for you to officially be my wife.
Oh, Lord.
Is that
was really
sweet?
Great until the you complete me thing. Well, it wasn't really great. It was great until the you complete me thing.
I don't know.
Tell me how you really feel.
Well, I think she's pregnant now. I hope it's real.
No.
I hope it's real. That was all positive. It's just like when people say complete, it just is like,
you're supposed to be
talking about the pregnant part.
That's it.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be a whole person. It's like, you know, you elevate me. You know.
Okay, wordsmith. She's like, I'm gonna need you to use a whole different frame of mind. Yeah. That right there was not it.
But you know,
it was sweet. I mean, he's a true Cancer. He's all
really
lovey dovey.
What is her sign?
Mm-hmm. I know he's a Cancer.
She
though.
Gives me Sag.
She's Sag.
I think a Leo because she seems like explosive. You know, they kind of fiery. The women of that sign. But anyway, we got a little bit more news and gossip. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Alexis Sky and Fetty Wap's other baby mama, Lizzie, got into it when she went to a bar that Lizzie works at. It seems like she went to set her up. They're saying the DJ who actually DJs at the club was the DJ for Lizzie's baby shower, and he's the one who booked Alexis Scott to come to this bar. And the aftermath was, you know, Lizzie, she walked up to Alexis like she wanted to fight her in the club. The security broke it up. And so after the club, she threw a bottle, and this is the aftermath.
Ooh,
let's take a look
World
at the clip.
Star.
TMZ.
Oh, so who is on the
The girl in the
someone's getting dragged.
Yeah, that's Lizzie. And then the bad thing about it, she ended up in jail. So you doing all of this fighting over your baby daddy who does not provide
Sky?
For you.
Which one is Alexis?
Alexis didn't fight. Her friends are fighting her. That's the crazy part about it. And then DJ is the one recording it. So they're saying DJ set her up. And what happened was Lizzie ended up crashing her car. She ended up getting arrested. And, you know, I don't know what's going on with her and Fetty, but it doesn't seem like he's providing for her because, one, she's there it is. Lizzie's right there. You know, TMZ has the official Who's that on the ground?
But why are so many people attacking
okay,
her?
DJ, I'm going to need you to fix your windshield wipers, first of all, since you're trying to set people up.
No, this is, like, not okay. Why are there so many black men standing around?
While women fight.
Why is that an entertaining thing for people? These girls
are hurting
themselves.
Well, it's entertaining. We watch it on Love & Hip Hop, so.
No, this is not entertaining. Like, this is on Snow. People are actually getting hurt on there. Okay.
Yeah, that's perhaps horrible, but
this is just not a
no,
thing.
No, I'm with you 100%.
And it was just really the guys standing around. Like, that is just, wow. And there's
even
a DJ inside of the car.
All nice and warm and cozy.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's a mess.
And if he really did, like, set this up or whatever, because it sounded like he wasn't trying to just release it until he...
Got paid.
Got paid to give it to TMZ. Like, I don't feel that is okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you're climbing on the backs of women, like... Mm.
We are the most disrespected group of women or group race or just... Yeah, it's not no one here to protect us. Women are getting raped in the club. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes.
Women are getting taken advantage of by celebrities and R. Kelly. And it's just like, who's here to protect us if you're going to just make a mockery of it and put it on Worldstar and TMZ? Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, that was just really crazy. And not to say, like, everybody express yourselves how you want to, whatever. But I just felt that was just a lot. Especially, that was just really, what really took, it was just the guys just standing.
It's a lot, there. But I don't know if Lizzie is trying to secure a spot on Love & Hip Hop because Fetty's not taking care of her. Because it's like, she has two babies by Fetty, which is the craziest part about it. And it's like, he's not there for her. She's put him on blast on Instagram, and it's just like...
I think
go.
At the you know what? I'm feeling
Too
very
hard.
Judgeful right now. So
yeah,
I just...
like,
because I'm like... You having kids with somebody that's not there for you, like,
listen.
How you being mad at that? Like, do you, like, secure your shit the way... Sorry, I didn't mean to curse. Secure it the way you can. Anyway, on that note, you guys...
Masika is doing that, texting us.
Right. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, help is available. You can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-HOPE. Or visit rain.org. That's RAINN.org.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because a lot of people don't have an outlet to run to. And there's, you know, organizations out there to help. So if anybody's going through anything that they don't have someone that has your back, reach out
please
for help.
Reach out.
Yeah, please reach out. Because we don't want you to go through that. So we're going to get into our predictions before we get out of here.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. We saw that little trailer at the end of the show. What do you guys think is going to happen?
It's really weird because I know that Yandy and Kimbella are friends now. Because I saw she was a bridesmaid in the wedding. But... I'm really curious to see the steps taken, because all I see is just shade after shade. Like, Kimbella is not feeling her. Like, any chance she gets, like, oh, she taking affinity in? See, that's what I'm talking about. She always want to make herself look good. Oh, she trying to reach out to me on social media so she looks good. So I'm curious to see how they get through that.
Yeah. You want to see what's the turning point?
Are they going to show us that before the
end
of the
season? Is it
fake?
Is this fake rage for her storyline?
I don't know. Kimbella seems like really
mad.
Yeah. Like,
but even the thing that she's mad at is not even worth being mad at. If you're riding for your friend, either way it goes, if Yandy doesn't want to own up to the fact that she called you to the baby shower, okay. Girl, ride for your friend. That's what you went up there for,
that's
right?
So
that's what you said. You went up there to fight for her, right? So what you mad for? Like, I don't understand that.
Hurt.
What do you think?
Yeah, I just think, you know, when it comes to friendships, they're like sisters at this point. So I know I'm really happy to know that they got back together in that sense. But at the same time, I just feel like when I hear Kimbella say certain things, granted, Yandy has always been the girl who throws stones and hides her hands. We all know that about Yandy. Yet when I hear Kimbella talk, it's like, you need to relax, because a lot of these things just sound like self-hate. Like, you're projecting whatever you're feeling and the different things that you might be dealing with in your trauma and your relationship struggles right now on somebody who you are close to, who you feel like will always be there. Like, I can lash out at you right now and I know that we will, like, fix it. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes when you're the strong friend, who Yandy can sometimes be to a lot of people, they think that it's okay to just kind of, you know, lash out at you.
Well, my prediction is Ashley's mom going to jail. she going in.
She's
good. Don't let me out. And Nia Lee, she gonna get a good shot in at Mariah, I think, because she looked like she was about to punch her in the face.
Yeah, where did that even come from?
I guess whatever conversation they were having, Nia wasn't having it. I think she's gonna get at least one good shot
in. She's too small. Leave Mariah Lynn alone.
I know. That's why she was like, this was my first time I saw Mariah kind of back down, because I've seen her be aggressive and swing on people.
She nuts.
But she knows that Nia is, she knows that Nia got a 1-2 and she's bigger, so I already know something's gonna happen.
I would also like to add Safari's Junk will be released on Valentine's Day.
Are we buying
Day,
it? So can we get a free sample?
If any of our AfterBuzz, if y'all get it, I would like to just see it for research purposes. I just want to see it.
Safari, send us a sample of your penis to AfterBuzz TV. We'll give you the address through the DM, okay? And Erica, don't be mad at us, girl. Come through. Come call it us.
Oh my goodness, I'm done.
Yes, and AfterBuzz, if you guys get your hands on it.
Better yet, how about you bring a copy here so we can interview him?
Yeah.
There we go. With the copy.
All right, come through, Safari. I'm your host, Miss Conversation. Peace. Thanks for tuning in with us. We'll be back next week with another fully loaded show.
Robin with the V signing out. You can find me at B Stays Busy.
Wow.
Busy.
Well, I'm Thelma and Baysway Daniel. You can catch me on Instagram at Thelmy.
Hello.
Bye.
Oh, follow me on Instagram. Conversation.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.